It's time for Forward Nation Radio. Now here he is, the host of Forward Nation Radio, David Leventhal.
The Centers for Disease Control recommends not drinking the water in hotel pools. Really? This is the thing? This is where we've come to as a country? That reminds me, though, I'm thirsty. Can someone please head to the toilet and fill up my water bottle? Thanks for that. This is Forward Nation Radio, and I'm David Leventhal. Thank you for joining us. On today's show, we will be talking about the latest Supreme Court mischief, polishing the Nobel Peace Prize, taking a question from one of our presumably devoted listeners. But first, we're going to start off with some goodbyes. Starting off with Philip Roth, one of the greatest American writers who just passed away. Philip Roth, who taught millions of Americans that their obsession about sex wasn't actually all that weird. Also, sadder goodbyes for the week from Santa Fe, Texas, Santa Fe High School in Texas, where 10 people are dead in the latest school shooting. That includes Jared Black, 17 years old, whose father wondered aloud how this could happen to someone like Jared, who would never hurt anyone. And Shayna Fisher, a sophomore at the school, whose friend said, "She stood up to bullies for me when we were little, and she's always done what she felt was the right thing to do." And Christian Riley Garcia, 15 years old, who had just put a scripture passage on the doorframe of his new bedroom. Aaron Kyle McLeod, also 15 years of age, had a cheery kindness about him that had people describing him as so sweet, so considerate. We also have to say goodbye to Glenda Ann Perkins, who was described as everyone's favorite substitute teacher. And there's Angelique Ramirez, compassionate and funny, a loving older sister with a contagious smile. And Sabika Sheikh, 17, a Pakistani exchange student, asked her mom to cook her favorite meal for her impending return in a couple of weeks, who had to leave Pakistan to come to America to get murdered in gun violence. Must say goodbye to Christopher Stone, 17, described as the baby of the family, who nonetheless played the role of protector for his two older sisters and was always there if someone needed someone to talk to. Cynthia Tisdale, a teacher, an avid churchgoer, married to a reverend in the town. And finally, Kim Vaughn, an art student, whose mother was moved by the tragedy, the death of her daughter, to reach out in the aftermath of the shooting and make a plea for gun control and protection of our kids. Because this is America, and this is the kind of thing you need to make a plea for. Yes, we are in the aftermath of the worst school shooting since, well, actually, it's only been 3 months. The worst school shooting since the last worst one a little earlier this year. No, the indelible words from this shooting will probably have been spoken by surviving student Paige Curry, who memorably, when asked if there was a part of her that felt this could never happen here, replied, "No, there wasn't. Because this is America, and school shootings happen so frequently Why would you think it couldn't happen here? Damn, we were just about at the point where we were able to talk about guns. But now, of course, there was a mass shooting in a school, so as Republicans will tell us, as Fox News will tell us, this is once again not the time to talk about guns. It's not the time to talk about how gun deaths are way up. How is that possible when President Trump had promised us over a year ago that he was going to fix this? I guess we can't talk about the concealed carry bill that has already passed the United States House of Representatives, that will require every municipality in America to dumb itself down to the most lax concealed carry permit offered anywhere in America. As long as the NRA can buy one down, everybody in America will have to honor concealed carry. This offensive bill is now being debated in the Senate Judiciary Committee, i.e., arguments on one side up against a lot of money on the other. We otherwise might be talking about how a new study came out that seems to put the lie to the argument that concealed carry laws reduce violent crimes. And in fact, the new study indicates, overwhelmingly, that when concealed carry laws are passed, it increases violent crime in the places where the law was passed. But maybe we shouldn't be focusing on the negatives. I know it's easy to do in the aftermath of the deaths of 10, needless deaths of 10 people, 8 children in a school. But we're always focusing on the negatives. We're going to try to be more optimistic. So let's look at the positives. There's Oliver North, who came out of the wilderness to be named president of the NRA. You know, Oliver North, who blamed this recent school shooting on a culture of violence and Ritalin. Yep, kids shooting Ritalin at each other, I guess. Oliver North, who longtime NRA leader Wayne LaPierre described as a legendary warrior for American freedom. And who could argue with that description? As long as legendary warrior for American freedom is defined as someone who sells advanced weapons to our bitter enemy, takes the proceeds of those sales and funds terrorism, and then perjures himself in Congress by lying about what he has done. As long as that's the criteria, yes, a true legendary warrior for American freedom. Oliver North had been consigned until recently to the ash heap of Fox News, where he only got to speak to the, oh wait, never mind. I guess it's the same fucking morons he's going to be speaking to now. Same fucking idiots who watch Fox News and show up at NRA rallies. But Oliver North, coming from the military, where in some cases they measure success by the number of dead bodies you leave behind. By that measure, Oliver North, already a success at the NRA. And there's Wayne LaPierre himself, looking at the bright side, who's made more than $1 million a year in his stint at the NRA, $5.1 million. 2015, the last year we could find records. Bear in mind that these numbers are way understating how much he's actually making, not including extraneous speaking fees and things like that, and not including the golden parachute retirement package he undoubtedly has awaiting him. Like most corporate executives, the payout is at the end. Let's not overlook Brett James Debney, the CEO of the number 2 U.S. gun maker, American Outdoor Brands, formerly Smith & Wesson. James Debney won the gun lottery when his assault rifle, that of American Outdoor Brands, was used in the Parkland killings, undoubtedly driving up the stock price and helping to lead him perhaps to even greater riches than the $5.3 million he was paid in 2017. James Debney, a proud member of the NRA's Golden Ring of Freedom, which refers to those brave, legendary warriors of American freedom who give at least $1 million to fight gun control so people can make more money off the death of American citizens. Let's not forget Christopher Colloy, the CEO of number one U.S. gun manufacturer, Sturm Ruger, who unfortunately didn't win the lottery and have any of his guns publicly used in a mass shooting. Darn, Chris, better luck next time. In the meantime, you'll have to make do with your $2.5 million a year annual salary, which again, remember, way undersells how much they're actually making. Let's not forget the institutional investors who are pouring money, investment money, into gun companies, and for whom millions of dollars a year is petty cash. These guys are worth billions. By guys, I tend to mean guys, and generally absolutely worthless human beings. And there's the NRA itself, worth about $337 million in 2015, undoubtedly a lot more than that today, which had expenditures of $419 million in 2016 alone. And by expenditures, of course, I mean buying the right to make money off of killing people. How can we accept this as a society? When do we say as a society enough is enough? When do the fucking morons turn off Fox News and start using a little bit of brain matter? The other day, I had the great joy of going to my youngest child's kindergarten orientation to welcome him to kindergarten next year and tell us what to expect. And apparently what to expect is a lot of shooting drills, when most of the questions from the audience concerned, do the doors have locks? Do you teach the children what to do when someone comes in with a gun? This is somehow acceptable in America? This needs to be fixed right away. Anyway, on a lighter note, not quite as depressing, but pretty depressing, the United States Supreme Court did more mischief this week, upholding forced arbitration clauses in employee contracts. We've talked about this before, but to our non-regular viewers, I'd like to review a little bit of what this mischief is all about. It has become standard in many contracts of employment. When you accept the job, you know, the contract that none of you actually read, that there is fine print somewhere in some of the documents that you sign that says, if you believe that you have been the victim of a civil wrong by your company, you cannot go to court. You must go to arbitration, private arbitration, a private judge. You cannot engage in a class action. What is the point of this? As I've long said, generally in America, if you steal $1 million from somebody, you might face prison. Unless, of course, you're on Wall Street. But if you steal a dollar from a million different people, you become a millionaire. Class action lawsuits are where a whole bunch of people who haven't been harmed enough to bring a lawsuit themselves band together such that there's enough money at stake to actually bring a lawsuit. Through forced arbitration clauses, companies ban their workers from engaging in class actions. In other words, they can continue to be victimized by their employers with no recourse whatsoever. We are reminded of why the Republicans felt the need to steal the fifth majority seat in the United States Supreme Court. When the recipient of that theft, Neil Gorsuch, wrote the majority opinion in this case, in a 5-4 decision. And he talked about how Congress has expressed a preference for arbitration, and we need to respect that. Yeah, sure we do. Congress has expressed a preference for arbitration because Congress has been bought and paid for by businesses that are paying for Congress, more on this later on, to allow these things to happen. That's why they stole the Supreme Court. This, of course, is as opposed to, let's say, the United States Constitution and our hundreds of years of heritage of allowing people who've been victimized to go to court to establish their rights and get justice. As if this system wasn't bad enough, there are times where private arbitration can cut down on expenses, lead to more quick resolutions. But here's the thing with the private arbitration. Under the contracts that the companies write and force you to sign, guess who gets to pick the arbitrator or arbiter? Guess who gets to pick it? Do you get to pick it if you're victimized? No, you don't. The company gets to pick the arbiter. Which means if you're in the arbitration business, what is your business model? Rule in favor of the people who determine whether or not you're going to get hired. Rule in favor of the companies. And unsurprisingly, less than shockingly, it turns out that evidence does demonstrate that private arbitration tends to come down pretty well on the side of the companies that hire these arbiters. You want to fix the system? How about this? How about make it mandatory that the victim or alleged victim gets to choose the arbiter? Let's see how much the companies would like arbitration then. Of course, this decision led to a stinging dissent from Ruth Bader Ginsburg, the notorious RBG, who noted in her dissent read from the bench, which is her way of saying, "You guys suck," to her fellow justices. She described the decision as egregiously wrong, and how this will once again continue to contribute to the under-enforcement of statutes designed to help workers. Workplace safety laws, whistleblowing laws, forget it. If you can't enforce the laws, you might as well not have them, which should save conservative campaign donors a lot of money. Anyway, more mischief on the courts, and more reason why you had better register, you better get your intelligent friends to register, your family members, and you had better vote in 2018, because the Republicans need to lose the Senate, and they need to lose it now. Okay, so, polishing the Nobel Peace Prize. Gosh, a funny thing happened on the way to Trump's proselytizing to get the Nobel Peace Prize. That wasn't the word. It's the first one that came to mind. His electioneering, I guess, would be a better word. Trump is busy meeting with President Moon of South Korea, which I assume means he now understands that there are two Koreas, which probably is awfully confusing. Because it turns out the guy who was winning the Nobel Peace Prize, who was electioneering to win the Nobel Peace Prize because of all that he had done in North Korea, well, it turns out he may not have done that much. Gee, who could have seen that one coming? Turns out now Trump seems to be wanting to back out of the meeting with Kim. Now, the latest today, or I don't know, I haven't looked in a couple of hours, the latest this morning was he's saying the meeting may be delayed. Because it turns out, it's becoming clear that this is a little more complicated than the Donald thought it was. Like the rest of, you know, governing. It's a little more complicated. If only he had some advisors to alert him to that fact. Liberals have joined those who have given way too much credit here. Given way too much credit to Trump. I know conservatives say, oh, liberals are, they just attack everything Trump does. They won't accept anything positive. Because conservatives lack imagination. And whatever their game plan was last week, that's what they ascribe to the other side as having its game plan this week. So since they spent 8 years opposing everything Obama did, they turn around and say, well, that's what you guys are doing. But in fact, we've seen that liberals are way too quick to bend over backwards to try to give Trump credit. Talking about, well, he has gotten a meeting with the president of North Korea, apparently forgetting that every president before him has been offered a meeting with the Kim leader of North Korea, whether it was this one or one of the prior ones. And every other president had enough sense to turn it down because they had, what was that word again? Oh, right, advisors, people who knew shit. It's become clear to everybody at this point that Trump is completely getting played. He's getting played by Kim. The United States, in order to try to get this meeting that Trump is desperate for to get some success, backed out of military exercises with South Korea, which North Korea wanted. He's made it clear that he's so desperate for a meeting that Kim is just absolutely fucking with him right now. Because Trump needs this more than he does. It is really remarkable. Historically, the leader of a dictatorial state needs the United States to a meeting with the President of the United States to confer legitimacy upon him. Now, the leader of the United States is such a fucking joke that he's the one who needs to meet with the dictatorial leader of North Korea to get some legitimacy. That's where we've come. And liberals can't even just come out and say that.
Did you see that coin?
The commemorative coin the government minted with a picture of Trump meeting with the dictator of North Korea. Kim looks at this and thinks, they're more of a banana republic than we are. But more importantly, he thinks, this guy needs this, and I'm going to rake him over the coals. So months ago, we somewhat jokingly pointed out that Trump was liable to give Kim California, which Trump doesn't like anyway. They don't vote for him. You know what? Good luck, California. Trump's not just getting played by Kim, he's getting played, it turns out, by Moon, the president of South Korea. Articles have come out where they've indicated that Moon has sucked up to Trump, mentioned the Nobel Peace Prize because Moon, among everybody, along with everybody else in the world, has understood that this guy is such an insecure little child that you get anything you want as long as you give him candy. So they're totally toying with this jackass. I'm sorry, the negotiator in chief. Nobody makes better deals than Trump. He's a tool. We are too kind to Trump when it comes to his deep thinking. Maybe there's a plan here. We keep saying that. There's not a plan. Get used to it. We have a president of the United States whose idea of deep thinking is that Twitter now allows 280 characters. That qualifies as a deep thought. This is a man who thinks deep thinking is the smart Fox and Friend. And we still treat this like there's something legitimate going on here. We are too nice to his supporters. Who, yes, I'm going to say it again because I'm sick of not saying it. We have a fucking moron feedback loop. Trump talks to fucking morons and says stupid fucking things. They cheer him, so he's emboldened to say more stupid things, which leads them to cheer him some more. All a race to the bottom in stupidity and lunacy. And we are too generous to his staff. No, his actual staff. That wasn't a dick reference. We are too generous to his staff. Okay? His new national security advisor, we're trying to find some substance to. He may be crazy, but at least he's a smart guy. Smart enough to compare what we want to do in North Korea with what we did in Libya, which people pointed out resulted in the death, the overthrow of the Libyan regime and the death in a violent way of the Libyan dictator, which is not probably the thing you want to say to the dictator of North Korea before you go into meetings with him. They actually had to walk this one back. We said last week they didn't walk anything back. They don't apologize for anything. This one they had to walk back. Right now, his staff is trying to figure out with their feeble little minds What can happen at this meeting that will allow us to declare victory and go home and say on Fox, we won? Kim looked at the coin and said, nice coin. We won. See, Nobel Peace Prize, please. We're seeing the tool of China trade deal, which it turns out, no China trade deal. Undermined by the Keystone cops. Why? Because it turns out China's just been playing Trump for a fool. And they're still playing him. Oops, no trade deal, no sanctions. And now we're asking ourselves, literally, are we about to go to war with Iran? Because it's getting closer and closer, and it seems to be the only thing that gets them out of where they are in Iran. Anyway, before we leave, we have a listener question which ties up a lot of stuff that we've been talking about on this show for a while. This is from Larry from Long Island. Thanks, Larry, for your question. Any thoughts on how to combat the effects of the American Legislative Exchange Council-generated policies? The American Legislative Exchange Council, also called ALEC, which we've talked about in this class, on this show, keep doing that, which we've talked about in the show before. I almost did it a second ago, and I said, oh, I didn't do it, so I did it. Anyway, first is, who is ALEC? Understand, ALEC is an ultra-conservative organization of wealthy businesses, wealthy individuals who buy legislation, who run this country to a large extent secretively. Why? Because they've been vetted by how much money they have. They are subjugating the interests of the American public for their own selfish interests in having more. That's who ALEC is. In other words, exactly the kind of people you do not want to have a role in running this country. So how do you fight ALEC? You know, ALEC made some news in many circles a few, many months ago, I guess, where a video surfaced that showed a legislator somewhere, and some Democratic legislator turned in and asked the Republican co-sponsor, how could you so brazenly stand up here and submit a bill that was just written by ALEC, not by our supposedly elected leaders? And the Republican took umbrage at that. Look for this on YouTube. He's very upset about this. How dare you accuse me of introducing legislation written by ALEC? We write our own legislation here. In which case, in open legislature, the Democrat points out, it still has the ALEC watermark on it. It actually says ALEC on every page that's who wrote it. So they give campaign donations, and along with the money, they hand bills that the Republican lackeys then turn around and introduce. So what do we need to do? Well, of course, we need to change our campaign finance system. We need to get money out of politics. How likely is that? Once again, have you noticed Neil Gorsuch on the United States Supreme Court? Have you noticed why? Not just to issue pro-business rulings like he did, but to make sure that we're not overturning pro-business Supreme Court rulings like Citizens United. The Supreme Court will now not allow campaign finance restrictions. So we need to take back the courts, first of all, so maybe we could start passing some sensible restrictions. We need to, as we've talked about in length in this class, we need to consider how we look at free speech in this country. Huh?
You said class.
I said class again? Shit, I did it again. Sorry about that. On this show.
Did you say show in class? Or?
On this show when I'm in class. No, I speak too much in class. So that's the default. Sorry about that, people. So on this show, I'm wondering what the hell you were doing the histrionics about. We really need to consider how we treat free speech in this country. I am a strong supporter of free speech. But at some point, we need to look at the ridiculous state that this has got us into by equating money with speech and by giving billionaire corporations the same free speech rights that human beings have. In fact, because money equals speech, they have much greater free speech rights than humans have. And we need to do something about the way we treat speech in this country. We might need to consider the fact that blatantly lying to people is not acceptable in America. Buying off politicians' money is not speech. And maybe corporations should not have free speech rights, period. They are artificial entities that are created to be selfish sons of bitches to make as much money as they possibly can without giving a shit about anybody but themselves. Why do they need to speak? Shut up and sit in the corner and make all the money you want. I think we need to change that. And obviously we need to change Citizens United. But maybe fundamentally, and this is more provocatively, but something that I think this country needs to keep pushing and pushing and pushing, especially those of us on the left. We need to make the rich not so rich. When the likes of Sheldon Adelson have so much money that they could just throw out $30 million at the Republicans because Paul Ryan came to kiss his ass, there's a problem there. It's not just our campaign finance system. It's not just the way we treat free speech. It's the fact that some people have way too much money. And with that money comes way too much political power, comes too much persuasion, comes too little responsibility for what happens to everybody else in the world. And people shouldn't have that kind of money. You really want to solve this problem at its core? Take away the money from a lot of rich people. Hashtag no billionaires. And I guess, last, the American people needs to get smarter and need to finally understand which politicians are representing their interests and which politicians are bitches. They need to watch more Forward Nation Radio. Anyway, that's Forward Nation Radio for this week. As always, thank you for joining us. So much more to talk about and not enough time. Like Looking Forward, go to ForwardNationRadio.com for the full experience. Please do. I get into reading mode at this point. Please go on to YouTube, go on to our website, like us. If you go on Facebook, why? But if you do, go on and like our Facebook page. It really does help the show. It helps our numbers, our credibility, etc. So please do take a few minutes to reach out to your friends and relatives. Share the show with people. Ask them to go on and like us and watch us. Look at us on YouTube. Subscribe to our YouTube channel. Listen to us on Podbean, on iTunes, and all the rest of that. Please tell your friends. Help us spread the word. Forward Nation Radio. See you next week.
Been listening to Forward Nation Radio with David Leventhal.